Community Radio.
It's about real people.
Not sound bites.
Not more talking heads.
Not on this show.
Interchange is a community access media forum fostering unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Conversations that challenge the ways we perceive the world around us.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Hello, my name is Ryan Dawes. Welcome to the Monroe County Commissioner Candidate Forum produced by Community Access Television Services and Community Radio WFHB. Now, throughout October, we've gathered as many candidates from local races as possible, and today we are focusing, as I said, on the County Commissioner race. We've extended invitations to all County Commissioner candidates, and we have been able to garner today with us District 2 candidates, Democrat Julie Thomas and Republican Nelson Schaefer, as well as District 3 Libertarian candidate David Nacarato. Thank you, candidates, for joining us here.
Hello.
Thanks for the invitation.
Now, before we get started, we are calling this a candidate forum, and I do want to clarify that it's not necessarily a debate. We would like this to reflect the discussion-oriented nature of our WFHB Interchange program. We can get to individual platforms and agendas later, but first I'd like to learn a little bit more about your background. So please introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about how your background will affect your race in the commissioner's office. Start with you, Julie.
Okay, great. Julie Thomas. I'm a Democratic candidate for District 2, County Commissioner District 2. And I've been a resident here for about 19 years. I came to Bloomington and went to graduate school and finished my PhD in 2005. And I was teaching at IU for about 10 years in gender studies, which I really appreciated the opportunity to do that. I'm now a small business owner. I'm still a part-time educator on the side, and I'm currently a member of the county council. And I believe being a member of the county council has really helped me with the necessary experience to serve in the commissioner's office, because I understand our county budgets and our programs and our grants and our departments fairly well, because I've been on the council since 2009. I've also served on the Plan Commission since 2009 and Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is road planning for the county, in 2009 and 10 and 11. So it's been, I've had a lot of good experience with the county, and I really want to offer my experience to the next level as a county commissioner.
Next to you, Nelson.
Hi, my name's Nelson Schaefer. And I'm a geologist. I love rocks, always have. And I came to Bloomington to finish a PhD in geology in 1974. Been here almost 38 years. I did complete the degree in applied geology. And I have been working at Indiana University at one of the research institutes for almost 38 years. I look at the natural resources of the area, and I try to find the best uses for them. And I'm also very environmentally aware, and I help a lot of environmental programs. As part of my job, I interface with industry. I've been responsible for helping a number of large industries come, not to Bloomington, but to the state. And it's a good feeling to go and see people working and products coming out the door in a very environmentally responsible way. I married a native. And when I was here a few years, and I just sort of stayed. This is a beautiful place to live. It's got a good research university, very diverse natural resources, and cultural and human landscape that is very, very wonderful. And I want to offer my services as a scientist to help make the best we can out of this area. The county commissioners is sort of an executive job. The council, there are several of them, I think nine, and they deal with the day-to-day budget and so forth. The county commissioners have oversight. They sign off on projects. They are ultimately responsible for the roads and a number of assets, including the airport, the fairgrounds, youth shelter, and many, many. In fact, I think this building that we're in. So as part of my career, I was executive director for the Indiana Academy of Sciences, which is a group of over 1,000 scientists, and I formed the executive function managing budgets making things go. And I think I could make a good go of this. My wife and I have also had a small technical business called Nanovations. And if we have time, I'll tell you about some of the things we're doing there. But my name is Nelson Schaefer. I'm running for county commissioner. And even though I'm from District 2, where Julia is from, everybody in the county votes for the county commissioners. So even if you're not from the east side of Bloomington, you can still vote for me or Julie. And the same goes for John Newland, Iris Kiesling, and Dave. They're running in District 3, but you can vote for one in District 1, one in District 2.
Thanks for that explanation. Now you, David.
My name's Dave Nacarado. One of the ways I try to teach people my name is it's kind of like Colorado, but Nacarado. And I'm glad that Nelson has pointed out the fact that we have District 2 with the two candidates that are here. And I'm running in District 3 without the presence of Iris Kiesling and John Newland. Originally, I started coming to Monroe County 30 years ago. I'm a native of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I lived 3 years in Texas and decided that Bloomington, Indiana was not a bad place to live. It had all four seasons, but it wasn't too hot or too cold. After living in Monroe County for the past 11 years, I've participated in many different things, but I am a realtor and I'm trying to make my living as well in this town and seeing people that are moving to the county. I used to do a lot of relocation for General Motors down in Bedford. So I travel the county extensively from all four corners, all the back roads, gravel roads, cross the creeks up in northern of the county when they're sometimes washed out and you have to kind of wait and go around. But what really brought me to this table here today is the fact that last year when the comprehensive plan was getting formed, there was lots of input from many different people, and it seemed like that the process was a little challenge to listening to the public. And once it made it to the commissioners, and the vote was to approve that particular comprehensive plan, I decided I had to voice my opinions, represent the people who live in the county. It seems like we're moving towards a Unigov type feeling when the Bloomington City Council is mirrored a little bit by the county council. And I think we need to have representation for county folks as well as city folks. I grew up on 7 acres in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan on well water with a septic. And I think I have a pretty good handle of what it takes to live in the county and the challenges of living in the county, and they're totally different than in the city. And I think some of the people representing county government forget about that. So I'm here to do exactly that, represent all of the county.
Now, you mentioned something that is one of the most widely known actions taken in recent years, and that was the passage of the Monroe County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Now, what's next for that is that there will be the adoption of the zoning ordinances that, in theory, would reflect the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Now, what I want to know from each of you is, what is your opinion of that plan, that guiding document, and what are some ways in which you think the zoning ordinances can either improve upon this plan or deviate from the plan or just improve the county development in general? I'd like to start with you, Nelson.
Well, like Dave, I have attended some of those meetings and even testified. And I grew up on a farm. I still own a small farm in Ohio. I'm a farmer, believe it or not. And farmers are sort of independent people. The comprehensive plan really restricts what you can do with your private property. And because I'm very much a constitutionalist, I was very concerned about trying to impose the will of a fairly small group who really didn't pay that much attention to the people who came and talked when I was there. Now, this plan has been in the works for many, many years, And one of the big selling points they had is we've got to pass this plan because we've been working on it for X number of years. And I think maybe the whole point of that is that people were opposed to it and they didn't want that plan. I was very disheartened to see some of the provisions that really want to have low density. They want to slow down growth because one of the things I'm running for is to try to get businesses and develop technological centers where people coming out of the university can have good paying jobs and make a difference, change the world, as it were. This has happened before when Bill Cook started an operation in his bedroom, in his garage, and it came to be Cook Industry, which has thousands of employees worldwide and a lot of good jobs here and all over the world. Right now, with the current the ethics of the plan, it would be very, very difficult to do. And I have seen what happens when you bring responsible businesses in or you let existing businesses grow. And I was very concerned when I read that plan, it would be really, really difficult. A number of people really have a hold on development here. If anybody asks, look at what's happened to North Park development, which had a great deal of opportunity and possibilities, and it has been on the back burner for years and years with always some new problem. And I have business people that come and say, look, I've got all this money invested. I want to start, but the county says, or the city says, I cannot do it because I need to go through another hurdle.
So what provision, what parts of the plan do you think would, as you say, slow down growth? What parts of the plan do you think would do that?
Right now, there are not, the plan right now is an idea with suggestions. What is going to be important is the ordinances that are written to determine penalties, guidelines, I mean, exact guidelines. And I would restrict a lot of or I would stop a lot of the restrictions on how you can subdivide or partition off your farm. I would be...
What's your discrepancy with that? The partitioning and subdivision?
Oh, because it's your farm. Many of the farmers who testified were almost in tears because they wanted to give a part to their children, and if it didn't meet the plan, they couldn't do that, at least not legally, without paying a lot of money. Also, it's very, very expensive, Dave will tell you this, to get zoning approved. And part of that is because I think one of the good parts of the plan is that they want to be able to pay for infrastructure to service new subdivisions, new businesses. I think that's responsible. But you can do that without restricting what a person can do with their farms. This particularly affects the farmers. It doesn't matter so much to the city dwellers and not at all at first glance to the students. But it does affect the students in that the harder it is to get affordable housing, the harder it is to come here and get out of school with a reasonable amount of money.
Now, Julie, I see you furiously writing your thoughts.
I'm writing lots of notes.
I want to hear your opinion of the plan. Obviously, you had a part in designing that plan over the years. What is your opinion of it? And, you know, how would you respond to Nelson here, who says that there's some parts of it that would slow down growth and also address for us the subdivision law? That really got under a lot of people's skin,
sure.
And people had a lot of questions about that.
Sure. When I joined the Plan Commission in 2009, the plan had already was being worked on already. So I came into it sort of toward the end, actually, even though it took us many years beyond that, because we had so many public hearings and we had, I put in more than 100 hours easily per year on that plan. And that's a lot of time for for somebody that's appointed to a board. That's expecting two meetings a month. To throw in an extra 100 hours into your schedule is really difficult, but it's so important that it's done right. And so others before me had already spent a lot of time on it, so my participation was negligible in comparison in terms of the number of years. Nelson's right to point out it is a plan. There's no ordinances yet. Those ordinances will come along as we find money for hopefully a consultant to assist, plus our staff and Plan Commission can work together. One of the big things is the importance of targeting development where there is infrastructure. Roads, sewers, obviously you can't put a plant, a car plant, an automobile plant, a manufacturing plant on septic. So you have to be where there's sewers or sewers are planned. And that's a limited area. The key thing that I think is happened has been the fact that everybody thinks the plan is done, when actually there is a big part of the plan that has to be written yet. It is a plan called the Bloomington Urbanizing Area Plan. And that is the two-mile fringe, the former two-mile fringe, right around the city of Bloomington. This is where you're going to have big business development in terms of big buildings. This is where you're going to have high-density housing. And this hasn't even been written yet. Yet everybody thinks that we've cut off economic opportunity somehow, because we're talking about 40-acre farms and 20-acre farms and large rural estates and suburban residential estates. One of the things I'd like to do is to see and encourage our brownfield development. If you drive down Curry Pike between 3rd and the bypass or 46, you will see a lot of abandoned old factory buildings and a lot of large lots where buildings had been. This is the perfect place for development. Infrastructure's there. A huge five-lane, most of the way road, which is Curry Pike now, it's almost like the road's overdeveloped for what we have there business-wise, and we can do a lot with that land and with that property, and I would encourage that to be done. And one of the things that we did in the plan is we specifically said, let's use an example. You're a farmer, you have 40 acres, and you have three children, you want each of your children to have a parcel, you can cut those off. You can cut off 5-acre parcels, 3-acre parcels, and have your children have parcels right there. Or you don't have children, but you want to raise a little money. Cut off a 5-acre parcel and sell that to someone else. What we don't want to have is, and this is an example of what we're trying to avoid, is I live on a 2-lane residential road. A farm that was there is now developed into housing, which is 2.5-acre minimum. I would not want to see student apartments going in there and suddenly this 2-lane road, which cannot be widened because of geographic restrictions, would suddenly have to take hundreds and hundreds of cars. There's just some things that don't, that aren't appropriate in certain areas depending on the roads. And you can think of roads as sort of the capacity for how many people can travel a day. And then build to that, but not beyond that, because with declining tax revenues, we cannot afford to do that. North Park is actually moving along. We have two developments going in now. The hospital said they're going to move there. Clarion has the final word on that. I don't know what that outcome is going to be, but we certainly haven't even had a proposal from the hospital yet to say no. One development that was turned down in North Park was a multi-apartment student housing unit. Because we could not afford the police coverage, the sheriff's deputy coverage, out there. It's like putting a Walmart where we have Walmart now. We are sending sheriff's deputies out there constantly for shoplifting, but we really, as county residents, don't have that kind of resource to spend on that. And now if we're adding hundreds and hundreds of college students in a high-density student rental, that will take some money that we don't have. There were other issues related to this, of course, as well, including transportation access to the university. The bus cannot go out there. City buses cannot go out to the county yet. So there are other issues as well, but that was one of them that was pretty glaring for a lot of us.
Now, David, I see you have a copy of the document itself. What is your opinion of the document, and how would you address comments by both Nelson and Julie?
Well, first, it's long. If you've tried to develop a piece of property in this county right now, it's not easy. It's tough. There are lots of things you have to do in order to accomplish that. So until you've been through that process, you can't beat a drum and say we need more. I am not going to disagree with what Julie says at all. But I am going to disagree that the timing is now, that it has to be now. Everybody says we don't want to have urban sprawl. We don't want to be look like Greenwood. I don't want to be like Greenwood either. I don't want to be like Geist. I used to live at Geist for 17 years. But I don't think we have those issues here in Monroe County and Bloomington. What we have is lots of state land, lots of federal land. We've had ravines. We have so much land and property in this county that you are never going to build on anyway, to really worry that we need to have so many charts and graphs and explanations here to say what you can't do. If I was a company coming to this town, and the first thing I sent my people out to do and say, take a look, and how easy is it going to be to do business in Monroe County? Usually you make decisions on what is best for your business and what is probably the easiest and what's going to make you the most money in business. Something like this is not what we need for this county. We can scare them away. I do believe it was designed in some ways to do just that. Now, we can sit and try to make it look nice and fluffy, but it was done to stop a lot of the growth. Now, let's go back to other things that people want to do. They say, we don't want urban sprawl. Well, Woodgate, that's out towards Ellettsville, not part of Ellettsville, not part of the city. It's kind of out there in no man's land.
You would expect it to have an Ellettsville address.
You would. It's part of the Ellettsville schools, Edgewood schools. But it has a Bloomington address. It does have sewer. Price range is around from $140,000 to $250,000. As a realtor, people look for communities like that when they come to town. They want, if they're moving around the country, they do not want to move into an area for 4 or 5 years or however long they're going to live here and not be able to sell their home. A home like Woodgate out there is a great place to live. Now, are we a warm, fuzzy place for developers to come build like that? No, not really, because it costs a lot of money even to get that process in place.
Given that we already have this plan in place moving forward, what would you do? Now that what's left is to adopt those ordinances, because that plan already exists.
And it exists because it was required by the state, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. But what we do with it is a lot of our own making. If probably when you talk about scientific information, soil scientists, people who really know what threats we're putting to the water in this county, one of my resources is I go to the Monroe County Health Department. How often have you ever heard from the guys that put their boots on in the morning and go out and check the septic fields and tell you how the septic systems affect this county? From what I hear, they do a good job. The water is protected. Septics are not a bad thing. There are many different things that are presumed and stated that aren't necessarily true. So I think we need to just take a few steps back. Yes, we've got a great comprehensive plan, but we do not need to write ordinances that make it even tougher at this time.
So if we have this goal of not having a more massive sprawl, such as you mentioned Geist and Greenwood, now how would we do that it differs from what the plan we have in place and the current trajectory that would be guided by that? You say you don't want to look like Geist or Greenwood. How do we accomplish that different from the trajectory we have in place with that document you have in front of you?
In my opinion, it wouldn't have happened anyway. As stated, we've got so much state and federal land, just the topography of our county is going to limit it. We've got the main state roads. We're going to have I-69 coming in that's going to affect things. It is not like a Greenwood. Just to start, it is not like Greenwood, physically. So our fear is there. We can say it is, but in my opinion, that is not true.
How would you respond to that, Nelson?
Well, in discussing with Mark Cruzan, he said one of the biggest issues coming up is this inner, what I used to call a two-mile fringe. And there are a lot of developments, there are big ones coming out down on Sarah Road, that really, really demand some decision whether it's going to be county or city and whether it's going to fall under the current laws for the city or it's going to be modified or under the ordinances yet to be written. There's a big discussion right now about Fullerton Pike, which is a planned east-west corridor of some significance. It's going to cost a lot of money and it's going to affect a lot of people. A lot of the people are sort of upset One thing that I heard Julie lament is the taxes aren't keeping up. Well, one of the reasons, if you don't allow growth, if you don't allow development, if you don't bring in people making a good salary and paying county taxes, you're going to run into walls about funding the services that you need. And that's not a surprise. That's just sort of the way things go. And I'm fond of worrying about jobs and salaries. This part of the country, even though it's very attractive for the university and the landscape and the people and so forth, the wages here are quite a bit below what you would expect, and certainly below our sister cities of West Lafayette or Fort Wayne that house significant universities. You really can't factor in IUPUI to that because it's in a very urban area, but we should be doing better. And part of the reason we're not, I think, is because there is a perception that it is hard to get a business started or grow one very easily here. And also it's hard to develop and bring in the people that you need and improve the tax base and so forth.
Julie, now I'm curious, do you think, as David said, do you think the public land that is in place in Monroe County, is that enough of a barrier to keep us from this urban sprawl like we mentioned, Geis and Greenwood?
That was often thought to be the case. There are some parts of the county that are specifically state forest, the Hoosier National Forest. We do have that issue. There's the lake, obviously. Everybody thought, well, there's no way there's going to be sprawl on the lake, but look at the point. That's considered sprawl. That's on lake. We put in a sewer system that's made it palatable because otherwise all of that is going into the lake because the septics are right there. We have to be concerned about the watershed, which is our water quality, because Lake Monroe is our drinking water source, and that's an important thing to be concerned about. We can't build on ridges where there's a creek that flows into Lake Monroe and expect to have septic tanks every half acre and to not have an impact. So there are impacts on that, and I think the other impact is older septics as well. That's another thing that a lot of houses in this community in the county have older septic systems, and we don't have any way to encourage an upgrade on those, and that's an issue. One of the things that Mr. Nacarado said was, he said the comp plan was too short, and I think it's interesting because people thought it was too, you said it was too long, and people have complained that it's too short. I don't think there's a good length. I think the more we put in terms of maps and explanation, the better, so I don't think that's an issue. And when companies come in, they don't look at comprehensive plans, they look at ordinances. And our ordinances right now are confusing. We have a subdivision ordinance and we have a zoning ordinance, separate ordinances. You have to go between the two books, as it were, to figure out how things are going to work. What we're going to try to do is move to unified development ordinance, which is one ordinance instead of two separate ones. And that will actually make it easier for businesses to understand what's coming up. Businesses like it here because our tax rate is about a third of surrounding counties. The reason our tax rate is low is because we have a lot of folks living here, we have businesses here, et cetera. One of the fallacies of building business and while you're going to increase your tax base is that just bringing business in doesn't increase the tax base. What it does is it increases our assessed value, which means we have a certain amount that we can, as a tax rate, we can add in the growth quotient as identified by the state based on non-farm income for the last 6 years. And that is what we can tax in terms of property over the whole county. Then it's divided by assessed value. So we don't bring in more property tax dollars. We bring in the same amount plus the growth quotient, no matter how much we have in this county or how little we have in this county. It's how much everybody pays that differs. And you can't assume that employees are going to live in Monroe County because our housing is expensive here. I agree with that. Or you look at student rental prices, it's outrageous. Look at housing prices, they're high. And for the people who have houses that have been trying to sell them, this has been a really good thing as opposed to what's going on nationally in the economy. People want to be in Monroe County, those housing values stay high. I'm concerned about low-income housing. But if somebody wants to live in Greene County and pay less for a house, our tax benefit is nil. Because their income, their county option income tax goes to Greene County. It doesn't come to Monroe County. We don't get any, but we have more people on the roads. Maybe that person will shop, maybe not in Monroe County. Maybe they will transact some business that will encourage, that will help us build our tax base, but not necessarily. And we have to be really careful about just the overarching statement that development is good because it increases our tax revenues. It changes our tax makeup, and it has to be something we can afford. If we can afford it, I'm all for it. I am all for it. And like I said, redeveloping those brownfields is a good way to go. It's a really good way to go. I could talk about AFIS if you want, the areas intended for annexation that Mr. Schaefer was talking about.
I'm interested in that and also how you would market these brownfields to potential employers and or housing options.
Right. Well, first with AFIS, I've had a number of meetings with Mr. Cruzan, and I've spoken with a number of members of the council as well. The thing that we learned with the AFIS is areas intended for annexation. What we do is it's in that fringe around the city, and we use city zoning to set up housing. So if you look at Highland Park, areas like that, they're in the county, you'll notice the houses are much closer together than they would normally be in the county. And so we have high-density housing and business development, and the key word in AFA is intended for annexation. So the intention was that at some point the city was going to annex that land, and then it would match their code. But what we have is a situation that if the properties are not annexed, which they may not be, then we have dense housing and business development, and we now have to send snowplows out and ensure we have the infrastructure to pay for that when it's not matching what we would normally do in the county. So we would have 1 acre lots or 2.5 acre lots, but now these are quarter acre lots, for example. So that's the problem. And it's been very clear. It's been a good way for us to identify how dense is too dense for housing in terms of what we can afford in terms of our infrastructure. Every road you build, every subdivision you build, that's another road to plow. That's another road to maintain, for example, if you think of it that way, or another traffic light to install in another intersection to widen. And so everything has consequences, and we just have to be careful about planning. And we do have those areas in the county that are really in a high infrastructure area that would be perfect for high density housing and great business development of all sizes. Brownfields are sort of out there in terms of Bloomington's the BEDC, the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation, has a number of the brownfields on their site. As somebody, you know, it's a landing place for big business who want to come and look at what it would take to open a plant. And we've had companies come in and take over old plants and use them for new purposes. Food packaging is one of them. And that is a great way to go. And we do have a lot more land out there, so there are opportunities, and it's on a big road. There's railroad spur. I mean, what more could you want if you're a large manufacturer? We really do have what's out there ready to go. So that's an easy thing. Low-income housing is a difficult thing. That's a really difficult thing. We can encourage that, again, that high-density development of apartments and small houses, bungalow-style condos, things like that, in that fringe area where we have transportation, where we have roads, where we have infrastructure, and the schools are large enough, and we have the intersections and everything that we need, that's perfect, and that's what we need to encourage. And also in our rural communities, like Harrodsburg and Smithville and Unionville and around Lake Lemon even, those areas can be developed as small rural communities where you have high-density housing, low density outside of it, but high density housing and a walkability and the ability to get everything you need pretty much in your little community, and creating those nice little areas is going to be a great economic benefit for all of those communities and all those residents.
Now, David, I'm curious, would you agree with Julie about her comment about how development might not necessarily increase tax revenue to the county? How would you address that? Because she doesn't believe that development would necessarily automatically increase tax revenue, which would be needed to extend those county services such as plowing, stormwater, et cetera.
Well, you did say immediately, and Julie is correct, for the snapshot today, if you build those subdivisions, you will be limited to the amount of money you can have approved in your budget by the state. But that doesn't mean it stays that way forever. It's not like they will never allow you to allow your budget. We never hear that part. We only hear it's going to stay the same. You got the services. You got to build the roads. You got to have the sheriff's department. But you don't have any more money. You actually pay less. And we hear the whole, like John Irvine had a great explanation of doing that. What they say is true. But ultimately, the budget can go up. The services can increase. We can have a larger sheriff's department. We can have more trucks on the road. But the wordsmith workmanship is great. I need to back up here a little bit. I am not against these two. I'm not running against these two right now. They are in District 2. My opponents are right here. I brought them along. Now, people on the radio might not be able to see this, but I have two stuffed animals. One's a donkey and one's an elephant. These are my opponents. So I want to make sure that people that are listening understand when they're trying to figure out, does Dave Naccarato make any sense as a libertarian? Well, he's the one that's here today for District 3. And I'd like to be able to represent, as I go back for the people of the county, now that I am here today, I am running against this donkey and this elephant. I am not running against Julie. Julie has lots of great ideas. Nelson has lots of great ideas.
Well, if we can bring animals into this, one of my icons is from Winnie the Pooh. There's a dyspeptic donkey who sees gloom and doom in everything, Eeyore. And no matter what happens, oh, it's the end of the world, it's always raining and so forth. And they're in the same book as Tigger, who sees, he's energetic and he sees possibilities. And I guess I'm running against Eeyore. And I have no props whatsoever, nor a tie-dyed shirt.
Julie, how would you distinguish yourself from Eeyore?
I think that that's pretty sad. Sorry. I would say that I've just talked about some of the great things that can happen in this county, and that's what I believe in. If I didn't believe in the possibilities and I didn't have optimism for what can happen in this county, and I've seen some great things happen in this county already in terms of development and building. This is what we need. We finished the Karsh Trail. We just opened Detmer Park. These are things that bring people, residents, to the county, and they want to live here. And whether they work here or not, we then claim their county option income tax. So this is a good thing. We want residents here. We want to encourage that. So I've said nothing that's made me seem Eeyore-ish, so sorry to disappoint. I just want to point out back again to the tax increases. Our growth quotient this year for 2013 is 2.8%. That's not a lot. We haven't given our county employees a raise since 2010, or 2011 year. So in order to give county employees a raise, we did 1%, which is cost of living, but not for 2 years. It was only cost of living for 1 year, so they're still a little behind. We want to make sure our employees have a living wage. We want to make sure they're treated right, whether it be county employees or any employees elsewhere. Low-wage jobs are the problem. Small business development, agriculture development, small ag development is going to be the next big thing. And I'm seeing a lot of it even on the east side of the county, which is unexpected, I think, for some. And of course, we have it on the west side of the county. So these are new ways for us to grow our economy and diversify our economy away from simply service industry jobs that pay minimum wage. And housing's too expensive for the minimum wage work, and it is hard to live here because the cost of living here is higher than it is in surrounding counties.
Now, obviously, the economy is going to play a huge role in the way in which people vote. I want to get to your ideas for job growth. You mentioned small ag development. Let's address that, and then I want to hear some of your ideas from David and Nelson. But Julie, first, what are both small ag development, how do you think the county commissioners can foster that, and then what are some other ideas for job growth, given that that's such a pressing issue now?
Right. Well, job growth is best when it comes in medium and small businesses, because and large businesses as well. But medium and small businesses that are outside of the service industry, and large businesses, of course, are going to be outside service industry. are the best places for job growth because those are going to be paying higher wage jobs. We do have, I've been through a lot of the plants around the county, Bioconvergence and Tassis and a number of those plants. And there are some great things going on there, and there are some really good jobs there. And I love seeing that. But what we need to do, we have abatements. And so this is another way that sometimes we don't get tax dollars. You open a big plant, if there's a tax abatement on the property, which is sometimes used to lure a business to come to Monroe County, then we don't even see all of the tax benefits. They're abated, which means the company doesn't have to pay all of their property tax. They pay part of it, but not all of it. And that can be something that also takes out of that that tax increase that you think your tax revenue increase you think
you're
going to
get. Meaning we brought them to the county, but then they're not benefiting.
Right. The first year they don't pay any taxes. Next year they pay some property tax, but not all of it. And then they pay 90%. Then they pay 80%. And after 10 years, if they're still in business, now they're going to be full taxpayers. Well, hopefully they're still in business. Hopefully their employees live in Monroe County. We can't require that. So we have to be really careful with that. So small agriculture is great. If you've been to the farmers market, which most people have, you can see there's a lot of folks there. They don't all live in Monroe County, but some of them do. And I can see a lot of potential in sort of the 5, 10, 20 acre farm where you are producing an income and possibly working another job or doing something else, but it's sort of that family situation. Cooperatives are actually now doing this where they build sort of a small apartment building and then they have a farm lot out back where they self-sustain and they grow crops for themselves, but then they can also sell it and there's more income. And I think the more we diversify our economy, the better. And green economy is always going to pay us well. It's always going to pay us back because it's going to benefit everyone in the community when we encourage our green economy. My small business is a green business, so I know it's important to have that aspect as well. We have abatements for large businesses, but we don't have any way to encourage small businesses, and I want to find a way to do that. There has to be a way to do that. We have to find a way to do it and to find other ways to bring in the entrepreneurial economy and really grow it and thrive it in this county.
Nelson, I want to hear some of your job growth ideas.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things I'm very interested in. And I see people who capitalize on the bright, very energetic young people who want to start businesses. Many university towns become very well known with many entrepreneurs who really make a difference, make big businesses. I don't have the hubris to think that I understand where the next big things are coming from, because if you look at futurists of the past, they totally miss things like personal computers and software. I do know that nanotechnology and biotechnology hold great promise. Julie and her folks put a solar panel on one of the buildings that the county owns. But there are now new innovations that increase those abilities to capture the sun by 100-fold. And that's what we can't predict what's going to happen. But we can make a very attractive nest for entrepreneurs and people with ideas to feel that they can go forth. And one of the ways you do that is restrict some of the permitting and all the plans. I'm always concerned about planners who know what's going to happen because they are routinely proven to be wrong. I grew up in the Soviet era when planners had all these great plans that they were going to increase food production and all of that, but they didn't take into account the rogue entrepreneur who totally upsets things. That's what I alluded to with Bill Cook and the Cook Group. You can't predict that. And I think if you're so invested in planning and thinking that you know how to hold on to it and wrestle it, I think you are bound to get bypassed by people who don't know that things are all figured out. I like to use the town of Mitchell. Down south of here, there's a wonderful park that everybody had. Oh, it had a gist mill and it had every brewery, everything anybody would want. But they didn't want to have anything to do with the railroad. Railroad missed them. Now Spring Mill is a bucolic park, and Mitchell is a thriving community with lots of jobs for people. You have to be aware that the future is going to be different from the past. And if you're planning from the past, you are not ready for the future. We need things like broadband. We need places where entrepreneurs can come together and throw out ideas and see what sinks or swims. We need a community that accepts and appreciates the sort of rogue aspect of entrepreneurs. I look at Purdue, and they have all these teams at the university, but that only goes so far. They also have a research park about taking ideas from the lab into where you can sell them. And many places up at MIT and Silicon Valley and so forth, they grow maybe without so much planning. And I think having the infrastructure, the libraries, the transportation, the broadband network, the interconnectivity, and I would dearly love to have a better way to get up to Indianapolis or at least have an airport here where we could get in and out. I think that's a real problem. If you're really trying to start a serious business, most of them want to have air access here. We don't. And it's...
We do have a county airport.
We do have a county airport, but getting here is... If you have your own Learjet, that's fine. But there's no commercial service, and there's no easy way to get to Indianapolis. I go to Indianapolis sometimes 3 times a week. That's about an hour and a half up, hour and a half back, where I'm not being productive. And I would dearly love to see make it easier for people who want to come down to the university, go up to Purdue, go up to Notre Dame, go to the IUPUI Medical Center, and back and forth without a lot of hassle, and where they can think and put their God-given talents to work, making the world better.
Now, David, what are some of your ideas for job growth and how the county commissioners could affect that?
First, I want to address a couple of things. One is the mention of the increases in the county employees for their pay. Granted, it was a small amount, but in these times, lots of people working here have not had any increase. As a libertarian, if we don't have the money and we're concerned with our budget, it's nice to be able to give someone an increase cost of living. But if the rest of the world, if your personal family hasn't experienced it, then why do you go to the taxpayers and ask them to make that increase? Now, I might have just lost hundreds of votes right there for the county employees, but I think that is the truth, and I'm trying to speak the truth. Let me get off that, maybe on some more positive ideas. And when we talk about bringing I-69 to this county, lots of people are still against it. There are some government officials that still say if and when. It's here, it's a green county, it's coming. I think the jobs will come. Now we have a lot of things we're going to have to deal with. And we can list all those on a sheet of paper, what's going to come with I-69 that are bad. But there is going to be lots of good. Cranes down the road. There are crane people who want to build support businesses here in this county, but it's tough. I talk to them. And they sometimes make decisions to maybe even go to the East Coast to support what they're building for Crane, instead of staying right here. If we make it more enjoyable to do business here, and we are cheerleaders as government officials, people who say come, then I think that's the best way. We don't always have to have tax abatements and things to encourage people to come, although that's kind of a catch-22 too. We've got IU, and sometimes I look at how much do they generate for the tax base and property taxes? Is that a big number? I don't think so. But we do love IU. I'm not against those kinds of thoughts. I want to go back to another thing, because we talk about making this a great place to live and having that bring people here for jobs. And it was mentioned about having small plots of land for growing food and being able to have a community, and people are going to want to live in those communities. You know what that's called? That's called urban sprawl. That's where people want 2.5 acres, people who want 5 acres. They want to go home, play catch with their kids, practice sports in their yard, and have their little garden there. We're reinventing this wheel. It's been there. But we're trying to restrict some of the common sense county folks who have been doing it for years, or people who have grown up in an area and they want to be able to do what they did as kids. It's just being reframed, reworked. So my point is, as a libertarian, that we don't need to make it that complicated. We can make it simple. We can do as Nelson's saying and make it attractive to come here. That overcomes so much more than having a short plan that people have to worry about in order to make it through.
Now, we are running out of time, but I would like to give each of you about a 30-second opportunity for an elevator pitch in case you want to very concisely bring anything up. But we are out of time, or almost out of time, but I would like to extend an offer. We'll start with you and then just go down the line. Julie, any final thoughts quickly?
Well, I am Julie Thomas. I'm a Democratic candidate for County Commissioner District 2. I believe I have the experience from my work on the council. As a community volunteer, I've been an active volunteer in this community since I moved here, Middleway House, the Circles Program, Planned Parenthood, et cetera. And I believe that with my work on the council and the Plan Commission, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, that I have that experience that's necessary to manage our resources wisely, which is a big job that the commissioners have to do. I will protect our environment because it benefits all of us and it saves us money. And I will continue to engage county residents and county government. I've been co-hosting a residence breakfast with a city councilor. And those are a great opportunity to hear from residents about their ideas and their thoughts, and not to come up with it ourselves, but obviously to invite people in and to learn from them. I have a website, which is juliethomas.us. I encourage folks to stop by and look at what I have to offer and my experience. But I believe I have the experience, and it makes me the best candidate for the job. I have demonstrated my commitment to Monroe County.
Thank you, Julie. Nelson?
Thanks. Hi, my name is Nelson Schaefer. I'm running for County Commissioner of Monroe County. I, too, have a website, www.electschaefer.com. Schaefer is spelled S-H-A-F-F-E-R. I encourage you to go and see my background. I have done a lot. I've actually done stuff to help the environment while creating jobs. I'm very interested in getting good-paying jobs here. One of the things I forgot to mention is that I want to promote tourism, including a limestone heritage park here. I'm very interested in making better use of the considerable assets the community has in the airport, the fairgrounds. They actually have a number of buildings for a technology park, but nothing has happened in some years. I want to improve cooperation with other agencies, the city, the university, Crane, and surrounding counties to do cooperative buying and try to streamline some of the services that we have. I'm also interested in better transportation. I'm very, very concerned that people who get into the government consider it their money. It's not. It's the taxpayers' money. And I would demand accountability and professional, serious auditing so that there is no question that the money is spent for the good of the citizens of the county. I am for limited planning and some effort to try to grow both places to live and places to work. I also want to see development of brownfields, and I've actually written a chapter in a book recently about how to take old mines and turn them into new attractions. So, but we don't have time to go into that. I encourage you to go to the website and see what I've done. And I have done a lot for the state, and I'm also very interested in museums and Wonder Lab and places like that here, and I've volunteered for 30-some years. And I want to volunteer to help this county be the very best it can to help harness the native intelligence and creativity that is here to generate some good jobs and growth. This isn't an elevator speech. This is an elevating speech. Remember that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nelson. David.
My name's Dave Naccarato. Here again, I'm running for County Commissioner for District 3. again, I'm not running against Julie or Nelson. I'm running against Iris and John. This is an application for this job. I'm here today. I want to be able to represent the people of the county. I am not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I have not been in the politics game. But I do have 2 ears, and I would like to be able to represent the people of this county.
Well, thank you. That is all the time we have. Thank you, Julie Thomas, Nelson Schaefer, and David Nakarada for joining us today.
And thank you for being a good moderator.
This Monroe County Commissioner's Race Candidate Forum is a joint production of Community Access Television Services and Community Radio WFHB. You can find these forums online at catstv.net and wfhb.org/news. For Cats and WFHB, I'm Ryan Dawes.
Real people.
Real issues.
This is your forum.
This is Interchange.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers working in the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Interchange fosters unfiltered open dialogue on the people, issues, and events impacting life in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Comments, suggestions, and program ideas may be sent directly to the Interchange staff.
The email address is news@wfhb.org.
That address once again is news@wfhb.org.